But good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jim.
All right, so the Minnesota Lynx came from down 17, and they beat Golden State last night 75-74 to win their quarterfinal series, 2-0. Jim, your thoughts?
Yeah, they got down in both games. They got down early in game one, came back and dominated. They got down 17 in game two and really had to play extremely well to come back. Again, you know, as I've been saying, Golden State is very well coached. They're very gritty. They play hard. They play defense. And when they hit threes on top of all that, they become very dangerous. They are a team to watch for the future. Lynx are obviously the better team. Once they started asserting themselves, they, you know, they played extremely well down the stretch. Courtney Williams with a big shot. Collier with a good all-around game. Just a lot of mental toughness to come back. That place was 18,000 people packed. Incredibly loud, as good an atmosphere as you'll see in that league, as good as the atmosphere you'll see in sports. And, you know, the Lynx kind of showed their quality by hanging in and coming back under difficult circumstances. That buys them some time off. I think I might have made a mistake when you asked me who they're going to play next. They will play the winner of Phoenix and New York starting on Sunday. They're the only team to sweep the first round series. Shows you kind of where parity and overall quality of the league is right now. It's hard to beat any of these teams. So they'll, you know, the winner of the next New York Phoenix team will advance. Breanna Stewart with New York is dealing with a knee injury. New York is not the team they were last year when they won the title. Phoenix is a very tough team to play. They're like Golden State, only with, you know, more high-end established talent. They would be a challenge. I think the Lynx are a better team, but that is not an easy team to play against.
So you think the Mercury would be tougher than the Liberty?
I'm sure the Lynx want to beat the Liberty, and the fact that Breanna Stewart is dealing with a knee injury makes them vulnerable. I just think that I would feel more comfortable picking the Lynx over New York right now than I would pick them over Phoenix. I would pick them to beat Phoenix. I just think Phoenix would be a tougher out just because of their style of play and their size, their strength, and so many veteran quality players.
Jim, some other things going on. The Twins lose to the Yankees 10-5. Taj Bradley, one of the players that they acquired in trade at the trade deadline, got tagged for 7 earned runs in 4 innings. He's had some good starts, but certainly last night was not one of them.
He was terrible. And follows on Zebby being terrible. And Abel, when he was, you know, when he's been given the opportunity in the major leagues, he looked terrible. It doesn't mean you write him off. Doesn't mean these guys won't ever figure it out. They're all talented young guys. Sometimes you got to get sometimes you got to get kicked around before you figure out what works in the major leagues. But, you know, we're dealing with fan perception about the Minnesota Twins right now. And, you know, as much as I always try to rely on facts to form my opinions, and I point out that, you know, you can cry about the Paul's not spending money, and guess what? The Brewers entered the season with a much lower payroll and have the best record in the major leagues. All the teams ahead of the Twins in their division spent less money going into the season than the Twins, and they're ahead of the Twins. It's not all about money. But now we're at a point where, you know, the reality of the complaints is very stark. They gave up on some very good players. The players they traded for, like Abel and Bradley, have looked terrible so far. And now they are cutting their pro scouting staff. They've just recently decided to part ways with 4 veteran pro scouts. Part of that is the analytics world. They feel like they can get that kind of information just watching on video. They don't need somebody in person sitting in that ballpark. But I know I just have a great respect for good scouts and the way they can kind of work sources and work behind the scenes and see people face to face. I think it's a mistake. It also makes them look very cheap, whether they made the move for money reasons or just because they think they can get information other ways. It makes them look very cheap at a time when they're being accused of being very cheap. Just that franchise looks terrible right now. And, you know, again, you can defend them in some ways, but overall, they just look like they're heading the wrong direction.
Jim, is Derek Falvey the right guy that should be in charge of baseball operations? And how about Rocco as the manager?
I'll say what I always say about the manager. People blame the manager because he's the person they see, not because he's the person who should be blamed. This is Derek Falvey's show. Jeremy Zola is his general manager, but Derek still has, you know, oversight of everything. I've always thought highly of Derek. He's a smart guy. He's very experienced now. He's put together very good teams. He's made very good trades over the years. But I just don't like the direction. And again, you know, we have to get into facts more than feelings. The feeling is, oh my God, they threw away 10 players. Well, you know, about six or seven of the 10 trades they made, every general manager in the major leagues would have made at that juncture if you didn't think your team could win. But blowing up the bullpen, I think it was a mistake. And they need to make these trades pay off. They need to get starting pitching quality and depth out of these trades. They need these players they traded for to develop into something. And, you know, and that could happen in the future. It's not happening right now. I'm not ready to fire anybody, unlike the fan base. But right now, and I think Rocco's doing a really, you know, I think Rocco just doesn't have players, you know. He won 101 games one year. He won a playoff series another year. At one point early in his career, he had the best record of any Twins manager through two or three seasons. He didn't get dumber. He got less talent to work with. So this is really more on Falvey, whatever you think of what's going on over there. I don't think Dave St. Peter isn't really in charge anymore. He's still kind of an advisor. I don't see the Pollets firing Falvey. I don't see Falvey firing Rocco. But if you're looking for somebody to blame, this is Derek Falvey's show. These are his decisions.
Jim, injury report for the Vikings. Certainly some good news. Christian Darrisaw was a full participant in practice. Should we be optimistic he'll play Sunday?
It's funny to look at an injury report with 18 names on it or whatever and the starting quarterback out and say it looks promising, but you're right. There are promising things on here. Darrisaw, full participant. Looks like he's going to play on Sunday. He is a big deal. He might be their second best player. Jeff Okuda, full practice despite his concussion symptoms, so he's going to play. That's a really good sign. Van Ginkel, limited. We'll see. He has a concussion, but I would think he has a chance coming back. Harrison Smith, limited. I would think he has a chance of playing. Josh Oliver, I think a guy who really could be an important part of this thing, limited. Theo Jackson, limited. Donovan Jackson, limited. So there's some good news and bad. All same designation. Some of these are guys who are improving. Some of these guys who are concerning. We'll see what happens. Grenard was limited. With that oblique, I would guess he's going to play. Ryan Kelly did not practice. That's worrisome. You got some good news there, and you have some unknown right there.
And Ryan Kelly, one of the reasons why they brought him in is because, you know, experienced guy and can do a lot of the offensive line calls. When you have a backup in there, does that make a big difference?
Yes. And, you know, Kelly has a combination of things. He has size. Unlike Garrett Bradbury knew how to play the position. He just wasn't big enough to handle, you know, really monster nose tackles. He kind of gave you everything he had. He just wasn't big enough. Ryan Kelly has size, experience, intelligence. He also has a history of concussions. So the fact that he didn't practice on a Wednesday after getting a concussion is a big concern. And yes, the center does look, you know, I mean, listen, the Lions blew up the Bears, a bad defense in week two, but the Lions week one, when with center replacing Frank Ragnow against a good defense, couldn't function. So centers are, you know, it's one of those positions where you don't generally want to spend high draft capital or a ton of money on those guys, but they make a difference.
Jim, the Bills and Dolphins are going to play tonight. The Dolphins certainly have been struggling. The Bills look like one of the better teams. Do you expect the Bills to roll in this game? And are the Dolphins in trouble this season?
I expect the Bills to win. I expect them to win by decent margin. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami is able to, you know, score some points. The Bills are not a great defensive team. And Miami has tremendous skill position talent. But the Bills are going to beat them up in the trenches. They're going to run the ball well. I think they're going to control the game. So I could see like a, you know, 31-17, 31-20 type game. I don't think anybody wants to start firing people after week three. So I don't think a loss in and of itself is going to cause Miami to change everything. But if it gets embarrassing, if players are yelling at each other on the sideline, if it looks like they don't respect their coach, you know, sometimes the circumstances force you to do things you don't want to do.
Jim, one thing we don't talk about too much here is college hockey, and certainly NIL in college sports has changed things dramatically, and we're starting to see some some big money being thrown out there for athletes now participating in college hockey. Maybe some guys that wouldn't have played college hockey before are now playing because there's money involved. Do you see the Big Ten and some of the deeper pockets and some of the teams in that conference becoming even better because of NIL and players playing now?
I think so. And let's face it, hockey people are nuts. You know, they're nuts about their sport. They don't think anything else exists. I was having a conversation with somebody who grew up in Minnesota and is a big sports person. His name's Pat Fisher, the cameraman who for Fox Sports North and all the whatever the entity's called these days. And he's saying, you know, he grew up here and he grew up in their pockets of Minnesota where basketball is the big sport. Basketball and football are the big sports. And there are pockets in Minnesota where hockey seems to be everything. And he said, what people from hockey communities don't understand is the people in non-hockey communities don't care about hockey at all. You know, there are a lot of people who don't care about hockey at all, but the people who care about hockey care about it so much, it's all they care about. So I think, we see that on my podcast network, the Russo show, the Russo LaPanta show, Worst Seats in the House. I mean, you know, it gets huge numbers. And when they go do a live show, they get huge numbers. These hockey people are so fanatical about their sport. So I have no doubt that there are a lot of Minnesotans and a lot of business owners in Minnesota and a lot of Gopher fans in Minnesota who would just love to be involved in paying a college hockey player. They want it, you know, hey, how much can I write this check for? I think it's a cash cow.
All right, Jim, what do you got in your podcast?
We have the John Krasinski show up this morning. Interesting stuff on what's happening with the workouts and also some Lynx talk. But John has some insights into how Ant is handling himself in these summer workouts and what his ambitions are. We have the Viking update show out about some of the Vikings moves. Today we'll have Dawn Mitchell show out with Viking reporter Emily Liker, who works for the Star Tribune. She's a great young reporter. And everything's at TalkNorth.com or on your favorite podcast app.
All right, Jim, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
It's Jim Suhan, Star Tribune sports columnist, joining us each weekday morning at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Suhan Strib. Check out his latest column in the Star Tribune or his podcast at TalkNorth.com. Jim, today brought to you by the Green Mill in downtown St. Cloud. News from ABC is next here on WJON.